This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual Buffalo Sports Purge, sanctioned by the one and only Terry Pegula. Commencing at the siren, any and all cuts, trades, releases will be legal and authorized during the purge. All of this and more on this edition of the Buffalonian Podcast. All right, let's go. Are back with the Buffalonian Podcast. I'm Joe Callie, and as always, I'm joined by none other than Dom Loss. And Dom, boy oh boy, what a day it has been. The purge has begun, as you heard in the intro. Hopefully no copyright infringement on that one, but for just the sake of time here, Buffalo sports, we're cutting left and right, getting rid of, saving some cap, Bills and Sabres. Sabres on the lesser scale, even though the deadline's coming up. The Bills, just as Dom said pre-show, I got to use it here, hold my beer, Brandon Bean, and just went for the kill. So taking a look now, just what are your thoughts like entering a day like this where in the beginning of the day before the pod, you and I were texting like, oh, what are we going to talk about? Oh, we'll talk about Lindy Ruff, you know, figure out some off-season topics to talk about. No, it's a full news day. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, earlier today with the Millstat, I know we'll get into that trade, but, you know, you and I are both wearing Sabres gear, so.
We are.
I thought, you know.
We thought that was it?
I thought that was, damn. I was about to call you and be like, hey, like, we never start with the Sabres usually, but, like, heck, I mean, Ryan Bates getting traded, we'll talk about that in a second as well, but that was kind of like, you know.
Yeah, that was
smaller
the news.
Yeah, smaller news.
Again, affects both rosters in their own way, but,
yeah, so.
I mean, here we are.
You know, let's dive right into it.
Yeah, Bills talk right away. What do we got?
I guess I'm feeling a little depressed.
It's a little sad.
It's sad. Depressed the wrong word.
It's sad in a way because it's like it's the team we've basically had these guys on the roster since we started the show, right? Something that they've been very serviceable in their positions, right? Been decent players. They're not like they're terrible players. Currently, the Bills are just in cap hell, and they have to expunge some money in some places. And fortunately, they're the branches that are getting cut off the tree. So,
I mean, you look at it. I mean, there's two kind of different ways to get out of, as you alluded to, cap hell. Is mm-hmm. either you buy more on the credit card through restructuring and
inflate,
like kind of like what the Saints did, or you cut, and you can still buy now, but you had to. You know, there's a price that you had to get cap out of right now with the actual cutting of players, and we saw that. It's an interesting day because these players have – a lot of them have been on the team since 2017.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were on the first time that they made the playoffs. I believe every single player, maybe not Ryan Bates, who just got traded, was on the 2020 roster – that won the division for the first time.
I believe
in
so.
25. So
yeah, sounds correct.
It's. I mean, it's just an. It's an end of an era. You know, it's. I didn't get super emotional when you know Poirier got cut because I kind of last year. I think we all had our emotional like Poirier's gone, but he then came back.
It was tough.
It was tough.
He was holding out a little bit too.
Yeah,
like
so
it was. Yeah.
That was kind of. You know, that didn't really hit me. I mean, it hit me a little bit that thinking that like it's over between him and Hyde.
Because mm-hmm. They were. I mean, you think back to those big games, right? That New England Patriots playoff game, 47-17, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yes.
That Micah Hyde just plucking it out of the air, right? Poirier right there with them. They made some huge plays together as a core, and they were the league precedent for a while on two tandem safeties to have. And
sure.
To have that off your team now, and you're going to have to go younger and you know a little less experienced, it's a hit for sure.
I think leadership, too, just all the leadership they're losing in just the locker room in general on special teams with Saron Neal being gone, Mitch Morris now being cut. That hit me a little bit because, you know, Mitch seems to be a good dude and all that. But the one that really hit me right now is Trey. I'm going to be honest. Like, he was kind of, you know, the first-round pick. I know he wasn't Bean's first pick because there's definitely still Doug Whaley, but the first pick of this era of McDermott Mm-hmm. You know, all pro,
standout talent right away.
Great dude. Mm-hmm. Battled through injuries and kind of feel a little robbed of where he ended his Bills career. So, yeah, that one hurts a lot. I mean, it's an unbelievable fact that Trey White, Matt Milano, and Von Miller played a combined one game together, and they didn't even play a full game. They played one half together in Detroit.
It's pretty surreal.
It is surreal. But I'm trying to think if we forget. Well, they cut about $37 million with Saran Neal, about $3 million. Mitch, $8.5 million. Trey White, $10 million. Poyer, close to $6 million, a little under $6 million.
Mm-hmm.
Deontay Hardy got cut for a little over $4 million. Nyheim Hines gets cut. They save $1.4 million by trading Ryan Bates. Am I blinking on anyone who we're missing?
Reconstructed Rasul Douglas.
So that guarantees.
That kind of put the nail in Trey White's coffin right away. Sure. Yeah. As soon as you saw that, you're like.
Because that guaranteed Douglas was going to be on the. I mean, they could have cut Douglas outright for $9 million, I think, when you saw that they reconstructed him. And also, they didn't extend him. So I don't know what that means for his future after this season. But I think that pretty much cleared the way that they were going to let go of Trey, unfortunately. And then, you know, Poyer getting cut kind of showed the end of the safeties because there's no way they're going to bring Michael Hyde back now. At least I don't think so. And then it's just been kind of. I shouldn't say all. None of these moves have been unexpected.
No, right? I mean they're all. You could have probably pegged a couple of them. I would say Trey White. We kind of predicted a while back.
Every single move that has happened, there is a scenario where it's like, okay, that makes sense, right? Oh, you do something for Rasul Douglas' contract. Oh, that kind of eliminates you, right? You know, Mitch Morris gets caught. That's kind of, you know, $8 million, $8 million, right? I think the surprise for me is that it's all happening in one scenario, right? It's not like, oh, we cut Poyer, but we're keeping Morris. It's like, no, you're literally purging, as you alluded to, the whole team. I want to quickly, I guess.
Oh, we got to remember, too, Deontay Hardy last week, in between the pods, was released as well.
He just got released today.
Or today.
It was Hines that got released.
Nyheim Hines, that's who I meant.
Yep.
Yeah, sorry. Completely forgot.
No, mm-hmm. You're right. I when I said him today, I was like, oh, wait, yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Unfortunate turn of events for him, too. That's honestly kind of sad, but.
Yeah, so I guess the easiest way to look at every single move is Saran Neal, $3 million for special teams players, a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Poyer for the $7 million they were going to have to pay him. You know, they want to get younger in the back end. I think it would be fair to say that both him and Hyde last year, well, still, I think, were solid. I think they lost a step.
Yeah.
And that needed to be addressed, the future of that position. And then you look at the cornerback, kind of with their move with Douglas, the emergence of Benford, still having Elam kind of maybe could still be something that kind of got, you know, Trey White out. I honestly think the most – and then Hardy and Hines were two, I mean – every scenario had those guys getting cut. Like, there's just not a scenario.
No, there wasn't a way to keep them around.
But I honestly believe the most interesting set of moves was what they did with the interior offensive line.
Yeah, with Mitch Morris.
Mitch Morris, Ryan Bates, and then the re-signing of David Edwards.
We have to retire this one. Sorry, just have to hold that up for a minute. It's upside down. Sorry, it's upside down. Got to retire this thing. We had so this is a fantastic photo, but, I mean, unfortunately – can't go up on the wall. It's no longer relevant to Buffalo sports.
Unless we, you know, is there a way that we could see Josh's foot's kind of.
Let's just paint on.
I was seeing if we could, like, cut Mitch on the photo.
No, we'd lose a pinky toe, I think, if we did that.
Nah.
I don't think there's a way to possibly do it, so.
But I think. So, from the, I guess talking first about the Ryan Bates move. I was surprised by it because
I think everyone was kind of came out of nowhere.
It was kind of like, I think everyone had the expectation that he was kind of getting bred as the center of the future.
Mm-hmm. He was the replacement to Mitch Morse because he's had Morse has had concussions throughout the past few seasons. So it's kind of like you were thinking
and
next
he
couple
has
seasons,
$8 million. So you thought it was near where they
might be on
him,
his way out. Yeah.
They cut him and it's Ryan Bates in there.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. Here's what I'll say. It is clear that the Bills value David Edwards more than Ryan Bates.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously because David Edwards was the guy that was the sixth offensive lineman on those jumbo packages and had at least a role without the injuries, right? Without anyone being injured, David Edwards at least had a role. Ryan Bates not. He was just a straight-up backup. Now, I think Ryan Bates was solid in a lot of positions, so I think that was interesting. And also, trading him, you get $4 million dead cap. You save only 1.4. So it's not like you save that much for this season. It's really next season, in 2025, you save $5 million off your 25 cap. And also, you get a solid pick. It's not a fantastic pick, but for Ryan Bates, getting a fifth-round pick, especially from the Bears, who are up there. Right now, it says pick 143, but with the comp picks, I think, still haven't been released yet. It might drop a little bit, but that's just... The Bills have had a lot of success in the fifth round, like Matt Milano.
I mean, Nate Peterman was technically a fifth-round pick, but I mean, we won't even talk about that, all right? We'll forget.
They've had a lot of quality players in the day three of the draft, so it's not like that's a solid selection. I think now they have 11 or 12 picks now in the draft, and I think we're getting into – so with Ryan Bates, it was just kind of a shock because it was like this was the guy that everyone thought was going to be the center of the future, like – kind of what's, like, the next move, because, like, this is kind of bizarre. I mean, obviously, then the next move in the interior offensive line fold is David Edwards, which is, like, okay, that makes sense. Like, they would want to re-sign him. Like, he was solid. And
very serviceable in the position.
Serviceable as a sixth offensive lineman, for sure. So, like, that all made sense. It's like, okay, like, they just obviously view David Edwards more than Ryan Bates, so that kind of made sense that they would, try and get rid of one, and they couldn't probably keep both or whatever.
Right, you got to pick one or the other.
Then you would think, like, okay, the third move is, like, Mitch Morris probably takes a pay cut, right? He probably takes, like, $2 million.
Restructure the contract, whatever you got to do.
I don't think restructure. I think pay, like, I think
just strictly pay cut.
Strictly pay cut.
Nope. Out of here. Sayonara. I don't know. Listen, the rumor is Connor McGovern's going to move over. I know you're a big snap guy, snapples and snapping the ball. So, like, what are you thinking? Like, you got to
snapple in the car. Unfortunately. Yeah, I got a Wendy's Coke here.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, no free brand deals, but we're still throwing the name up. But listen, I think that might be a decent spot. Connor McGovern was a very great addition for the Bills. We'll just have to see how he unfolds as a center for the team. Mitch Morse, I mean, that is a loss at the end of the day. That's the one that kind of probably, quote-unquote, hurts the most, thinking about it, right? Because that wasn't in the book, wasn't in the plan. It didn't seem to be, and then it was. So.
I mean,
he's been the guy since Eric Wood.
Well, no, there was a gap year between the one there's Josh's rookie, but he's been the guy for the last 5 years.
He's been the guy. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Five of the 6 years for Josh, he's five straight, he's been the guy. He's been a Pro Bowl caliber center. And with McGovern moving over, it's now clear that they – honestly, it's clear a couple of things from these three separate moves is that they want to get younger with the Morris, cutting, and they want to get cheaper. I mean, they save $8 million from Morris. They save 1.4 Bates, and they also kind of save $5 million in the future of trading Ryan Bates, and they get at least draft compensation. It's clear, though, that they clearly viewed David Edwards as a starting caliber guard. And I think it is also clear that they viewed Connor McGovern as a better center option for the future than Ryan Bates.
Yeah.
So that's why Ryan Bates just gets out, because the questions was always going to be, oh, if Mitch Morris gets injured, who's going to come in? And it's clear now that it was going to be Connor McGovern. They were going to slide McGovern over, and they were going to put David Edwards in. And with already David Edwards being the sixth offensive lineman, that's a very expensive Ryan Bates making $5 million a year as your technically his seventh offensive lineman, and doesn't even has to have two injuries now, right? He'd have to have two people go down to get in the game,
right?
Because I would even doubt he would have been the sixth offensive lineman if Edwards had to be in. It probably would have been, I think Tommy Doyle wasn't healthy, but Tommy Doyle used to do that role, so maybe Ryan Vandermark would have been, the guy that would have been the sixth offensive lineman if Anderson, had a start. So I don't know. I think Edwards, excuse me. So I think those three moves honestly are the most fascinating moves, because it's like all of a sudden we talked about, oh my God, they had the five starting players all healthy. They had quality backups in Edwards and Bates last year. Maybe Edwards comes back. What do they do with Bates?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's like,
nope, we're done.
It's like they completely have reshuffled the interior offensive line. They switched out two positions and it's kind of like, where do you go from here?
You rebooted. You essentially rebooted the franchise at this point in multiple positions. So what you're looking at, I'm seeing all these tweets. I'm scrolling Twitter. I'm making sure. I know our producer's scrolling Twitter too. Making sure nothing else comes out. What I'm starting to see a lot of is July 1st, 2007 for the Sabres being compared to March 6th, 2024 today for the Bills. I don't think it's that drastic, but it's I mean, you are clearing out. And in more depressing news, disappointing news, Matt Hawk is back with the Bills on a one-year deal. Just have to point that out. He's not a friend of this program. That's all I have to say.
With Sam Martin for the job, but they haven't cut Sam Martin yet.
Well, Sam Martin honestly will have a cakewalk when he fully heals. So, because Matt Hawk is terrible.
True. But
so
I think, I guess taking the sidestep to that conversation, that's actually was an interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with that because that move in 07 really doomed the Sabres' ability to compete.
Yeah,
right. They didn't. In the short term and eventually then in the long term because of what happened.
Yeah.
The producer's giving me, like, eyes.
No, yeah, that's 07 for the
Sabres.
Yeah. 07 for the Sabres, and then...
I was comparing
yeah.
the 07 Sabres. Yeah.
So...
Silly boy.
I
know what? I messed it up so much, and I was right there, and I'm still getting chastised. But... I'm sorry, I'm going through my feels right now. Trey White was like my favorite player back then.
He's a lot of people's favorite players. They're the heart of the team, of them. So.
So those two decisions to not pay those guys killed, you know, they competed for a couple more years, but they didn't really, you know, get any further.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a reset. And they can still win the Super Bowl, I think, this year. They just have to make some moves. But it also helps the long term health of their salary cap.
What is this? Oh. Trey White Goalie Academy. That's what he just said.
Yeah.
I forgot that existed, Trey White Goalie Academy. But
I understand the comparison because it's right. They're both similar in the fact that it's the end of an era. But I think the Bills are in a better position than when the Sabres were because I think the Bills have a core that players that are better than those Sabres players back then. And the Bills, I think, have the opportunity now to do some really unique things to get better,
yeah.
to get younger. Like how long have we been talking about the Bills need to pull the Chiefs and just
get younger?
Look what the Chiefs did 2 years ago defensively. Now that they've won two straight Super Bowls, which is unique, but they got significantly younger defensively, and it was really worked out for them. Like this is what the Bills needed to do is that this core had reached expiration date. And it sucks to, like, be the dude that has to do all it, but I really respect Brandon Bean doing it, because I don't know if I could have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he had plenty of emotional conversations.
100%. And these guys, like I said, they're the heart of the team in a lot of situations.
They'll be remembered
right?
forever.
Well, and here's the thing. A lot of these guys, right, were on the squad that broke the playoff drought,
mm-hmm.
when you think about it. So it's like they're a huge, huge part of the history of Buffalo sports where – there were 18 years without a playoff berth, and they were on the squad that did it, right? Kyle Williams was also on that squad. You think back, there's been a lot of time that's passed since then. And these guys did get up there in age. It doesn't feel like it. 13 seconds feels like 3 days ago. You know what I'm saying?
That's 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's 3 years ago. So you don't realize how much time actually passes and how old these guys get, right? So it definitely needed to happen with Poyer, Hyde, the defense. You need to get younger. Because, like you said, look at the Chiefs. They got younger, and they're winning Super Bowls right now. So, I mean, you kind of want to emulate that a little bit. It's a copycat league. You need to get younger. And I think Brandon Bean might have the scheme to just do that and get over that hump.
I think the upsetting part is that hopefully when the Bills break through and win the Super Bowl, that these guys that, you know, bled, sweated, cried together in the beginning. Like these guys aren't going to be there when that happens. Like mm-hmm. it's just that's
always the fear.
But I think this is kind of foreshadowed in the fact of all the defensive changes they made, coaching wise, on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Babich, Eric Washington leaving, John Butler leaving, Adai, the new defensive backs coach, kind of a little bit of a different scheme.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see a very different, younger. Just a different Buffalo Bills defense, and hopefully maybe that defense, well, maybe not as successful, maybe in the middle of the season, maybe the same success, but will be more successful to make deep playoff runs.
Right.
The defense has been letting them down consistently year after year. And then offensively, I mean, just if Mitch Morris leaving, it's tough. And it just shows, though, those 11 draft picks are going to have a significant opportunity to compete for roster spots on this team. I still think – boundary wide receiver is still number one on my list. Like, mm-hmm. I still would prefer that. But safety is now probably two. Yeah,
fill the spots.
Like, I honestly think safety is significantly higher after today. I think interior offensive lineman. I know David Edwards resigns and is probably going to be your left guard. Mm-hmm. I know Connor McGovern is going to be your center. But
you've,
like,
done well with younger guys. Look at Osiris Torrance, right?
Yeah, Osiris Torrance and Aaron Cromer is good at developing. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. And also Spencer Brown's an unrestricted free agent.
He and Deion are both on the last year of their contracts, right?
Yeah. I assume they're going to extend Deion, but hopefully. Spencer Brown, I don't know if he comes back because he might have worked himself out. So you have to think about how you're going to, you know, I think this, it's interesting. I think after this draft, I think people are going to be wondering if the Bills are in win now mode, because I think after this draft, the Bills are going to fill a lot of holes on their roster that aren't necessarily holes right at this moment. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they draft an offensive tackle higher than people expect, because they need one. Interior offensive line, they kind of need one, even though they have said that those are their five starters. Like, they need probably another guy or two. Safety is going to be a whole new thing. Defensive line, like, they have it's going to be interesting. It's also going to be interesting, like, who kind of stays now? Like, who are this free agent class? Like, you know, Taylor Rapp, Tyrell Dotson,
AJ Epinesa,
Ty Johnson. Like, is it just a straight purge of, like, all those guys are going to be gone? We're going to have, like, I believe they said at the moment the Bills have 48 players signed. I don't know if it's 48 or 47 after trade, but they were going to have, like, 40 new players. Well, I guess it's 40 new signings that could be former players to come back.
Yeah,
of course, but,
yeah, right.
But I think it's going to be very fascinating to see, like, this is going to be an entire
– this offseason is going to be big for the Bills, because you're right. It's going to be entirely different. You're going to come back to a whole new team.
It's been very easy year after year being like, okay, who are the starting safeties for the Bills? Okay, Porter and Hyde.
These are our guys through and through.
Next year, who's going to be the starting safety for the Bills? Porter and Hyde. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, next year, who are they going to be the starting safety
Taylor
for
Rapp,
the Bills?
Taylor Rapp, DeMar Hamlin? Like, what are we talking about?
It's going to be like, are we bringing back Taylor Rapp? Are we going to sign a guy and then draft a guy? Are we going to sign two guys? Like, I think now, especially if Porter being gone, it's like,
okay, you moved on officially. It's done.
It's official, and it's like, is this now going to be, like, are they going to try and do Poid High 2.0? Like, the safety class is not fantastic in the draft.
Mm-mm. So that'd probably be something you might have to grab early. You know what I'm saying? Like, to get a decent one. But the wide receiver class is so deep, so this is where you get into the conversation.
No, you don't. No. I completely disagree.
You do?
I don't think any of the safeties are maybe Cooper DeJean, but I don't think any of the safeties are first or second round players. Like, I think they're round three, round four players.
Right. Well, you have receiver depth too. So, I mean,
well, just because you have receiver depth doesn't mean you shouldn't grab your guy.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the conversation has arose of that. I'm not saying I'm bringing it up.
Sure,
I'm saying
it's
happened. Like, if you look on Twitter, which I'm scrolling through still, just waiting to see if anything else happens, because apparently rumor has it the Bills aren't done yet. With our luck, when this wraps up today, three more guys are going to be cut or re-signed. But that's kind of what you're starting to see now, is like, where do the Bills go in the draft now with all these openings? And I'm still on the wide receiver train. Don't get me wrong. I think they need to get that first. But, and you have guys saying the Bills just cut their entire team. They'll all be on LinkedIn soon. That's Dave Portnoy threw that one out there. And I was like, all the guys they cut, funnily enough, have more talent entirely than the entire Patriots organization did last year. So you're funny for saying that. But no, it's a new team. It's a weird feeling going into this right now, because it's like you said, you had Poyer Hyde the entire time. Those are our guys. Year in, year out, those are the starters. Whoever fills in behind them fills in behind them. Now it's happened. You got to move on.
And I'm going to share some news that might make some Bills fans mad.
Okay.
This just shows, though, how ice cold of a seat both Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have.
Yeah.
Because they are
resetting. Just did whatever they want.
They are not just that. They are resetting this entire defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the expectation would be, like, if you're going to fire McDermott, now would be the time, because this new coach would be able to get his defensive guys in the team and then would figure out which players he wants, right? It's not like the new head coach, after these moves, would have no emotional ties to these players.
Yeah.
Right? And now that that's gone and McDermott's still here, it's like, no.
He's actually sitting on a throne of ice. Yeah. Like, it is not melting. Yeah. It's unwavering. Like,
I gotta be honest. Like,
solid, not melting.
Now, they could crap the bed next year and he could be fired. I'm not saying he's
no,
like. No. But, like, it's a lot icier than I think I expected. I think it's colder than I expected, to be honest.
The heated seats aren't on. Like, you're expecting when you let a coach and a GM just basically say, all right, we're rebooting. We're going a new way here, a younger way. You're giving him the keys to the car pretty much for the season and letting him build his thing around
right,
it.
Because if they really thought that their jobs would be endangered, what they would be doing, instead of cutting these players, they would find a way to restructure or extend these players. Like, Mitch Morse would probably get an extension. No, Mitch Morse is getting outright cut. So I think that's actually a huge takeaway of mine after this. It's like I just...
They're on a throne of ice, both of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, they're just not really in danger of getting fired, and I think...
Like you said, it still can happen, though, at the end of the season if it if they really crap the bed. But... It's not anything you're immediately worrying about, but there's just a lot.
Their fingerprints are going to be on this entire new roster. Again, 12, 11 draft picks. They're going to get some salary cap space now because I think right now they're at, like, saved 37.
Yeah, and if they restructure Allen, like, the plan is
to. And that's 20 mil right there, so they would be 20 in the green.
Mm-hmm.
I think they probably are going to find a way to extend – restructure probably Ed Oliver. Like, I would assume now if all – I think, honestly –
Because he's set. Ed Oliver's set, so he doesn't have to worry about
another
that.
Another bombshell that kind of just hit my head, other than what the Sean McDermott thing is,
yeah.
I think both Von Miller and Stephon Diggs' future after this next season has now become in more doubt for me. I never said it was ever in doubt, but now you have to be like – if
you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel
because,
for them.
Because if they truly – thought these were long-term players, they would have just reconstructed their contracts and not cut all these players.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, I could be wrong and the news could be that they're reconstructing Diggs, but like, if they just touch Allen's contract, Oliver's contract, and maybe do some extension for some other players, and they don't touch Von Miller's, which they shouldn't, any scenario they shouldn't, mm-hmm. but they don't touch Stephon Diggs, which I think everyone had the expectation that they were going to have to touch that contract. If they don't touch his contract at all...
Yeah, it puts a fog on his...
The chances of him getting moved, I mean... I'm still not saying they're very high after next season, but they definitely have increased.
100%.
Right? Like, I mean...
100%. You're 100% right on that. You can't tell me now that if they touch everyone else's contract but the two in question, that sure. they're not going to just get out of them when they can. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like it's... And I don't think it's unwarranted. I really don't. I get it. Stephon Diggs' production really hasn't dropped that much, right? He had an off season last year. But all the quote-unquote drama that's the narrative or whatever that I just choose not to pay attention to. I mean, I don't know if you saw it. I know the producer did. He said something, much love, ... on Twitter or something like that. I retweeted it. I said, we're so back and I love it. Like, I love how he plays with the media. But I can see the problematic side of it all coming down to an end. If he has a great season this year, though. Who's to say they won't touch it next year or something like that,
sure,
right?
Sure.
So, like, it's not out of the question, but now you see the little bit of gloomy fog coming down on it. Von Miller, though, I don't think they're going to touch at all. I think he's done.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. But that option is now kind of open now.
Yeah,
that option kind of pegs
on this season,
now,
really, for Diggs.
The report, before all this stuff was happening, so you're probably going to talk about, too, is that, I apologize, I think it's Matthew Berry had a report about the Bills' offensive state. And he's talked about how, yes, Brandon Bean is telling the truth that he still believes Stephon Diggs is a one.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that Khalil Shakir is more of a wide receiver three, and they want to get the ball in the passing game more to James Cook and Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah.
All things I like to hear. I think all things are very accurate. I still think Diggs is a one. I think I agree with Shakir being more than three. I like the sound. No, James Cook, as you alluded to, and everyone's kind of alluded to many times, got to work on the jug machine.
Yeah.
But... It shows that they don't believe they have a wide receiver two. And with that report, said it's unlikely that Gabe Davis comes back. So another
extremely unlikely that Gabe
another,
Davis comes back. Yeah.
Another piece of the core.
And you want
core's wrong word, but
well, you want to know something crazy too?
Oh sure, shoot.
We're paying our tight end two top tight end money in the NFL.
And they can't touch his guy.
They can't touch it. So they're handcuffed. Now, I'm not saying I don't like Dawson Knox. You know I am. But the guy behind your head right now is. Causing a cap issue.
So I think that's what's going to be interesting too.
Mm-hmm.
Is
are you going to let Dawson Knox become the tight end two behind someone who's getting paid? Well, yeah. But having a tight end two getting paid top tight end money in the NFL, it sucks. You know what I mean?
It happened last year.
It essentially did, but that was he was out for injury a lot. So
sure,
like,
but it happened last
it was going. It was bound to happen.
Let's put it this way. With this whole salary cap kind of reset,
mm-hmm.
they need to find wide receiver two, safeties, whatever. Maybe they buy depth or whatever for the both the defensive line and interior offensive line. And look what ahead. You're going to go into 2025 with three pretty bad contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least two and with whatever happens to Diggs, right? Von mm-hmm. Miller's a bad contract and Dawson Knox is a bad contract. They had to figure out a way for next season they could get out of those, right, without getting killed in the cap.
Yeah.
And then maybe if that maybe that they had to wait another year of Knox or Diggs, but they could get out of one, maybe they could get out of one but not the other, right? And then you had to choose of like did Von kind of have a resurgence where it's like we could deal with him for another year?
Right. Who knows if he has a great season?
Knox had another like 250-yard season and was kind of like Kincaid just taking over and whatever. But I think it's it would be Von because I think what you're seeing now in the NFL is teams going to these 12, 13 personnel to get people out of running too high looks. And I think that's what the Bills are adjusting to actually with this movement and safety. I think they're going to transition to more of a man. One high look, kind mm-hmm. of counter the counter a little bit.
Yeah,
and so I listen. It's fascinating. I think this has been this has been an interesting day to say the least.
It has. I you see everyone saying what is going on. No one expected it. It just came out of nowhere. So
this is just a random Wednesday. I believe the league. I mean, you had to be under before the first day of the year, which I think is next week or
March 16th or something like that.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. week and a half. So
mm-hmm.
to do it now is just kind of.
I mean, go for it, though.
It was going to happen. But, yeah. like, again, I think.
I'd rather have it on an unexpected day, make it fun, than
sure.
on the day.
I like it that I like that it's happening today and not tomorrow.
Yeah, because yeah, we would have been a week before we said anything about it.
Might have had to do an emergency deposit at that point. But, again, I think the shock factor is that. This isn't happening in one scenario. This is the scenario where the purge scenario of everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you could reasonably think, hey, they could cut Tre'Davious White, right? Because they have Rasul Douglas. Whatever.
I think we talked about that multiple times.
You could
yeah.
cut Mitch Morse. Mm-hmm. Like, you could cut Jordan Poyer. I didn't think they were ever going to trade Ryan Bates, but, like.
They did.
Sirian Neal declined a little bit on special teams. $3 million, a lot to pay for a special teams player.
Mm-hmm.
Hardy and Hines, pretty much in every scenario. It's just everyone in this scenario is getting cut, which is just – it's wild. But
at once. You're creating a hole that you need to fill now.
But it's going to be interesting to see how they fill it. It's going to be interesting how this impacts the future of the organization, especially, again, when 2025 hits, you know, those albatross contracts you can't touch this offseason, do they touch up next offseason? Like – I think it's incredibly interesting what has just happened.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I mean we won't know really what their plan is to fill those holes until
training camp.
Or
OTAs, really.
Until the free agent, until mm-hmm. after the draft. Until after free agency and the draft. So
mm-hmm.
It made the draft a hell of a lot more interesting, even though it already was. And it made free agency kind of interesting.
Cause yeah. Because now you want to pay attention to the latter rounds of the draft, right? You want to
yeah,
see
those guys have chances to make. Like, yeah. again.
They have starting opportunities on this Bills team.
It is very
it's crazy.
It is very hard. The Bills have always had quality mm-hmm. players in drafts,
yeah.
right? It's always been like last year, Osiris Torrance, Dalton Kincaid. Like they had two. Mm-hmm. You get Dorian Williams on the brink. Shorter didn't really do anything.
Who knows? He might break out this year, though. You never
it's
know.
It's never been quantity, really.
No.
I know the
first
Bernard,
couple rounds
I know,
is where you've been picking.
I know the Bernard draft, like. That was a solid draft, or
Benford, all those
Benford
guys.
Benford and those mm-hmm. guys. Like, you make a case that that's like what we're gonna see. I hope that's what we see this draft mm-hmm. is that we get quality starters, but we also get quantity and quality backups who could step in if needed.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating.
It's cool. I mean, you could say they have the team right now is a slice of Swiss cheese. There's holes everywhere. You know where else there was a hole?
But just cut you off one thing.
Okay.
I don't think they lost anyone significant.
No.
Other than Mitch Morse.
Right. He's the only one where you're kind of
like.
Which
is the question mark now of McGovern. Like, Poyer is kind of like declining player you could deal
with. He's getting old. The speed was not there anymore.
I don't think anyone really thought he was ever going to get back to what he was. Mm-hmm. So Mitch Morse is the only guy where it's like, if Connor McGovern comes in and kicks some ass, like, this is an interesting. I'm not trying to sell it short. Like, these guys are. The leadership is going to be tested because this is a big. blow to your current leadership. But again, I'm very fascinated. It's just very fascinating. But sorry to cut you off.
No. We're getting word from the producer right now. The Bills might have a new backup quarterback. Rumor has it Tim Graham is putting out there. Mitch Trubisky might be returning to the backup
position.
No
way.
Yeah. Yep. Talks to reunite. Sources tell Tim Graham Steelers released him, so he's free to sign. Honestly, I don't mind that as a backup position. I'm going to be honest with you. I have more faith in him than Kyle Allen.
I don't give a crap, to be honest. He sucks.
Yeah.
Kyle Allen
sucks. I mean, both of them suck. But
let's put it this way. Kyle Allen sucks. Kyle Allen sucks.
Mitch Trubisky sucks.
Case Keenum sucks.
Steve Bichel, whoever.
Also, if it.
What? Why are you silent? Why are you
reading that? No, I thought they officially did I apologize. I thought they officially did the Allen restructure, but they just said his restructure would take 22.7 off. But
okay.
My apologies.
Right. No. So, you know, I was alluding to the holes now in the Bills offense. You could say cheeks are out, right? I'm wondering, did you see this last night? Did you see this tweet? Josh Allen, my pants ripped at dinner, didn't want cheeks out. I love Paris. So, just a little bit of background on this for a second. We're going to go TMZ, and then we'll get into the Sabres. So Josh Allen was out with Haley Steinfeld in Paris, you know, enjoying a dinner, I guess, and pants ripped. But he was getting ripped online for just getting out of the limo or whatever vehicle they were in, walking right through the doors without helping Haley out of the car, protecting her from the stupid paparazzi, right? Literally hammered online, saying what a horrible guy he is. Anyone around here knows that's not true, but still. He responds with that. Pants ripped at dinner, didn't want cheeks out. I love Paris. So you could say the Bills right now are his pants ripped, the cheeks are out, and you're going to have to fill those spots, and I think Brandon Bean has a plan to fill those spots. So
fantastic segue.
Yeah, it'll be something interesting. But I'll tell you who stole the day from who. The Bills stole the day from the Sabres. So
in a big way.
Talk about smacking the junk on the table and just flashing a piece. That's what happened here. And it was the Sabres day. Dom and I called earlier today. I texted in our group chat here. Mitz is gone. Casey Risler's stat is gone. He's out. Dom calls me. We think that's the only big news of the day. Little did we know, it just exploded from there.
Little did we know what was going to transpire.
Yeah, the Bills strike back. The Empire strikes back, took it over, and made it their day. It's time to talk about the Sabres, though. They play tonight. As you alluded to before the show, there were no changes made to the roster, quote-unquote, from Don Granato, except Casey Mittelstadt won't be playing tonight, so there technically is a change. So as a tribute to our good boy, Casey Mittelstadt, his goal, he scored the final goal of the season last year, I believe, or final RJ call goal last year.
2 years ago.
2 years ago. RJ's last call, an overtime winner for Casey Mittelstadt. Just had to do it gratuitously here, so here we go. Here we go. Casey Mittelstadt gets it right in front of the net, just pops it in. That's fun Sabres hockey. That's not what we're seeing this season. That's fun Sabres hockey. You hear RJ on the call. Casey with the bat. Casey Mittelstadt wins it in overtime. So, yeah. Listen, that's what you remember. That's what we talked on the phone, too, because we're going to have to pull out the quotes now. I got a text alerting me to this Casey Mittelstadt trade. And I don't know if you remember, but the first year and a half of the pod, we were the biggest Mittelstadt haters out there. Like, there was no one else. We were just taking dumps all over him, saying he needed to be traded. Oh, he needs to get the trade value up. I think I said fuck in all caps as soon as he got traded. I didn't want it to happen. That's where you're at, too, from what I can assume. Because it was like, I don't know. I feel like he's kind of put it together.
It's conflicting.
It's conflicting a little bit. Like, it's tough. He was on the uptick. He really was.
Like, with the Bills stuff, it hurts, but it all kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
This hurts a little bit, and it all kind of feels very jumbled, right?
Like the Sabres microcosm of a season.
True. It's like, interesting this happened, but, like, it's so interesting that you can't really have a concise thought about it.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I think I was in the mode of don't trade, don't extend. Which is go to arbitration, go to 2 years of arbitration, figure out what the heck's going on in 2 years. Mm-hmm. Like, at that point, you understand what you want for contract for J.J. Paterka, Jack Quinn. Like, how – I don't think I was in the opinion of they should be paying Casey Mills $7 million or $6 million a year. Not like he's not that caliber of player right now. It's that you've already done that with other players.
Right.
And you just can't do that with everyone.
No.
So
And he really has been on the uptick. He's been playing very well. He's been one of the more consistent players this season after a really, really mediocre season for the team with all their starters. I mean,
he's the leader in points plus minus.
Yes.
And assists. So
yeah.
He's had a nice year.
He has. And watch, he'll do traditional Sabres fashion. I'm calling it right now. He's going to score the game winner in the Stanley Cup.
Well,
so.
Congrats to him. He is going to be playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs because the Avs are very good.
Yes.
But
yeah.
Talking about the return, they get Bowen Byram, who is a top four left shot defenseman. It's fascinating because Bowen Byram, 22, Casey Mills, 25, so you get a little bit younger. You get maybe that coveted top four defenseman we're talking about. Now, again, another left shot, but I think we've seen that Dahlin can really play really efficiently on the right side, and I think Ryan Johnson's going to be a guy that's going to be playing on the right side as well. So I'm not super concerned with handiness. It would have been nice if he was a right shot, of course, but I'm not super concerned with that. It is interesting from the perspective of this. Casey Mailstat, better player right now. Bowen Byram, lots of potential. Like, he is a legit, has a lot of potential. Contract situations, nearly similar, right? Millsat's going to arbitration this offseason. Bowen Byram has 1 year left on his contract, then he has the same thing as Millsat. So you basically just bought yourself another year of trying to figure out what you're doing at Bowen Byram. I believe his cap hit is $3.6 million.
Yeah, right around there, I think, yeah.
So, okay, you kind of cap, contract, kind of maybe work out a little better. Mailstat right now is a top six forward. Bowen Byram can be a top four, top two pair, but he hasn't been great the last 2 years. Now, there's been reasons for that. The Avs, I think, haven't been as strong as a team. They've been up front the last couple of seasons. He's had concussion issues, which he hasn't suffered a concussion in 2 seasons, which is a good sign. It's a little bit like, honestly, if you want to compare now ex-Buffalo sports player Mitch Morris, we had all the concerns about him with his concussions. He never suffered another one after all those fears. So hopefully the same thing with Byram. And the thing with Byram is that you have seen his ceiling, right?
Yeah.
It's about consistency with him. Like, we have seen his ceiling.
He's also scuffled with Jordan Greenway, by the way. There's a clip floating around out there now. So
his ceiling, though, is that he was the second best defenseman in the entire series of the Stanley Cup Final behind Cale Makar when Colorado beat Tampa. And Tampa had some loaded dudes. Sergachev, Hedman, Ryan McDonough was on that team, Eric Cernak. Like, Bowen Byram was better than all those guys. The only person he wasn't better than was Makar, because Makar is insane, but he was right there with him too. Mm-hmm. So like, you've seen his potential. Like, I think it's Dahlin power than him, so I think he's third, but like, that is a damn, if he gets his potential, that is a damn good third.
It is,
but it's all about consistency with him.
Yeah,
if he becomes consistent, now I think this system suits him really well. He is a good goal scorer. He's a good finisher from the defense, which you don't really have a power, but you have of Dahlin. We've seen him. And this system with, you know, kind of the D-man coming up and being the extra forward, I think is going to suit Byram. He's a fantastic skater. So I think this system is a fantastic fit for Bowen Byram, a better fit than the Avs. So I'm very excited about this. Now, it feels like the Avs got their second line center that they needed. The Sabres got top four defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
And now have opened themselves up for other moves.
They
right?
have. Like, before the deadline coming up soon here.
It's not even the deadline. It's the offseason, I think.
Yeah.
Like, they've opened themselves up to, they've made the decision on Casey Mills that they traded him. And they've gotten a top four defenseman. And now your defense is kind of set for next year, right? You're going to have probably, I would assume they're going to keep Samuelson. I don't know who would want that contract. But you're going to have Dahlin, Power, Byram, Samuelson, Ryan Johnson. I guess they could still make a decision on Yuki Haru. I would keep him. I think Clifton would then be the seventh. Like, that would be my decor.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much sense, though. You pretty much have your goalies, right? UPL, maybe you had a veteran, a backup just in case Levi, you want to start him in the AHL. So that's kind of been solved. Your decor kind of has been solved.
A little bit.
it's now the forward group, which is the question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Because you take away, not arguably, he was your best forward this year, right? And now it's like, can Skinner get back to what he was? Can Tuck kind of bounce back? Can Cousins and Thompson bounce back? Can Quinn get healthy? Can Paterka continue his rise? Is this an opportunity now for Payton Krebs to take his spot?
Yeah,
Zach
finally.
Benson.
He's out of fourth line jail now.
Yeah, Kulik, Savoy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me,
you just opened up a little bit.
Honestly, you opened up a little bit, and you opened up an ability to swing for a bigger Ford. I truly believe that the Sabres have now opened, because now that they've kind of, again, they haven't solved their decor, I'm not alluding to that, but they've taken their swing, right? You knew what they were going to trade Middlestad, it was going to be a swing at the decor. They've now swung at the decor. Now the question remains, if all those prospects that you have in the Ford group, is it possible you bunch a couple of them and you package them and you go for a bigger swing right now of Ford? I think that's what we're going to see. I truly believe that's going to happen. I think it's going to be a winger because I think they believe in
Tage
and Cousins as your top two.
Cousins is already friends with Byron, by the way, because
they played the Canadians juniors with them.
Yeah. So there's I've seen a couple photographs circulating of them all together. So yeah, they already got a little bit of chemistry, which is nice. So
it doesn't hurt, of course. But no. I think with the future of this team, I think it opens them up for a swing with the four group. So I don't know. I think it's conflicting because I think any decision they made with Casey Middlestat was going to be a decision that was going to be controversial, right? You extend them, and it's like, okay, like, I guess another guy to the core. I guess you're going to kick the can down the road of, like, now it's Jack Quinn, J.J. Paterka, you have questions mark about, like, their future, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or it's you go to but it's like, all right, you're just going to walk your guy. That's probably not a great idea. Probably not getting the value. And now you trade him, and it's like, okay.
Well, the timeline's weird because they were like, we're not shopping him. After the deadline, we're going to talk contract with him. And now he's gone. So it's like you're just not expecting that to happen. You know what I mean?
And it's also a situation, too, that I think is intriguing, too, is that they traded him for, one, a high-risk player. This isn't a guarantee because Byron may not hit his ceiling. But, again, I have
He has a ceiling to hit.
But he has a really high ceiling, a higher ceiling than what Middlestad is.
Yeah.
Right now.
Middlestad, you knew what he was at his best.
But at his best is right now better than what Bowen is for you defensively. So I think that's interesting. I think it's also – at least if they're going to trade Middlestat, I'm at least happy they made a hockey trade. Like, they made a one-for-one trade. It wasn't like, we trade Casey Middlestat
future consideration
for a first-round pick and some other prospect. Okay, no, you trade him for a legit piece that can help you right now. You can also grow and develop.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Literally, a perfect guy you would target. Now, Byron, I think I would want a guy that may be a little more consistent. But, again, we'll see with that. I think the biggest thing is, honestly, is that, you know, again, maybe you solve your D problems, maybe you load up now for an opportunity round to get a big forward, so it's going to be an interesting offseason. I'm talking right now, what does this do for the locker room? Like, Casey Middlestat?
He was a guy.
He was a dude. He was best friends of a lot of guys on the team. He was tight. This is a guy that worked really hard to get where he was, and now you trade him. And I think it kind of is this the shock they need? You know, you kind of felt like maybe this could happen. Is this the shock that they needed to be like, hey, like, this is the freaking NHL? Like,
yeah, it's
happening. We're all friends here, and, like, this is great in the locker room, but, like, we have got to start winning.
You
like,
need to win games to keep that group together.
You're on point for 82 points in 82 games. That's not acceptable.
And you're way behind last season.
Is this a wake-up call?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be interesting. Because
that was their guy. Like you said, he's close with all of them. That's a purge right there where it's like, oh, shit, we got to get this boat back on path here, this train absolutely back on the tracks. Like, come on. Like, we're a better team than this. You need to start winning games.
I think this is a perfect wake-up call. I mean, he was the guy that was going to be the wake-up call, right? Mm-hmm. If they were going to move him, it was going to be a massive wake-up call. And another thing about Byram, too, is that he hasn't played with the best D partners recently. So I think him being maybe paired with Dahlin, I think, could be really exciting.
And then that frees Owen Power to go help out a lower line for sure.
Sure.
So
I think it's just a fascinating move because also – what we're going to be talking about next week is that the trade deadline is Friday. And I don't think the Sabres are done. Like, I think the Sabres, who knows with Kyle Poso? He made a point that, hey, like, I think there's potential that Sunday was my last time playing in KeyBank as a member of the Sabres. And I was like, wow, like, he just kind of openly went out and said that. I was like, okay, like, I guess, like, that could be true. I guess that could be true. But, like, I don't think they would move him out of his consent, obviously, but, like, maybe he's on his way out. Maybe Gergensen's is on his way out. Maybe they trade Eric Johnson. But Eric Johnson now becomes an interesting piece, even though how much I despise him as a player. But, like, as a guy in the locker room, has played with Bowen Byram, knows Bowen Byram, maybe now, instead of trading Eric Johnson for a fifth-round pick, you might be like, hey, honestly, it's probably more valuable for us instead of trading him for that fifth-round pick. It may be more valuable for him to be like, hey, like have him be here for the next 20 games to help Bowen Byron's transition to this locker room.
Right. Yeah. No, there's definitely avenues now that are open that I don't think were with Middlestat, but it's also, like you said, it's a major wake-up call to these players who are kind of underperforming this season. Like, okay, you know, the NHL is not just about camaraderie and friendship, because that's what this team seems to be like, but you got to win games. You got to produce. And here's the thing. Mittelstadt, I'm telling you right now.
It wasn't his fault he got traded.
No. It was a team-wide thing and whatever. Like, it was not on him. And that should be the wake-up call for that team. He was producing, and he was the one to get purged, all right? Those of you who are not producing, and you are readily able to get purged. But, like, let's not act like he's not going to win the cup and not be – receive the Conn Smythe. I mean, let's just be honest. That's what's happening now. I'm telling you.
Well,
I'm calling it right now.
Reinhardt's going to get 50 goals. Eichel's won his cup. O'Reilly's won his cup. Freaking, of course, Mittelstadt. But
Mittelstadt will be the next on the checklist. I'm telling you right now.
I wish something for the best for him. Obviously.
We turned from haters to fans within a season.
Yeah, and it's tough to see him go from a fan perspective. From a locker room perspective. You know, I can't imagine being with a guy as long as Mittelstadt's been in the locker room, and for him now to leave and he's playing his best hockey of his career. Again, you can only hope, as you alluded to and I've alluded to, that this is a wake-up call. Like, this is professional sports. This isn't juniors. This is the real crap. And hopefully Byron becomes that piece that they were missing on the blue line for the future that they thought they were getting with T.S. Samuelson.
Yeah.
Become that number three, and hopefully – I don't know, Sabres start winning.
Here's my question. So, Don Granato now, right? I mean, your initial prediction was the All-Star break. He'd be gone. That has yet to happen.
A month later now.
Still
employed.
He's still here. They've kind of woken up a little bit in these last couple weeks, right? You've seen them actually playing high-end hockey, winning close games in overtime, right? They've gotten points out of games where they could have rolled over. It's a little better. It's not like they're still at 500. I'm not giving them the praise right now by any means. But I'm saying, is he more secure now than he was before if he finished out the season all right?
This is what I'm going to say. This is kind of like the McDermott Bean argument.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion, no. He's always been on the should-be-fired list. For him to have...
It's his third full season. And
For him to kind of have all these guys kind of regressing, mm-hmm. playing this weird style that doesn't really fit them, but you knew another style fit them. And
yeah.
All the special team struggles that they've had. I mean, they've really only been winning these last couple of weeks because UPL has played especially, you know, very well. Like, this is
he's playing like a top goalie.
This is
the
best goaltending they've gotten in the Granato era. Mm-hmm. So,
isn't he a top 10 in the NHL in a lot of categories?
Something like
now?
That. Yeah. So mm-hmm. It's not so much that I'm praising Granato that I'm just praising UPL and all that. Like, I don't think Granato saw anything. So,
mm-hmm.
But again, I think this may be a Bean and McDermott situation where he's probably safer than you and I are saying, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think real talk, like,
if they're making these
probably
moves,
honest to God, if we're being honest, it's probably a situation where the assistant coaches are going to get fired. They're going to probably add...
Lindy will be president of hockey operations. That's what he'll be.
They're going to add two different assistant head coaches to try and solve something, and I guess maybe give him half of next season, and if that doesn't work out, one of the assistant coaches becomes an interim coach like last time, and we're going to start a circle again where he becomes a three, you know. But, like, honestly, guys, like, I would fire him, but I think...
You think the assistants are going before him just to see what the problem is? You're going to try and... But eventually, if it comes true that Granato is at the root of the issue, he's gone.
I'm just happy that Kevin Adams made a move.
You know, a pretty solid one. I mean,
we'll see.
There's a lot of this could have a huge upswing. This
high
could
risk,
be
high reward.
High risk, high reward. But look at it. He again
made a move.
Put the junk on the table and just did it. Like I he didn't do anything in the offseason that was like necessary. But now it's like, you know, I've jokingly been talking about Mittelstadt's trade value for like 3 months now, and here it is.
It's
like
nice
it just happened.
To see
you know
that. There's some urgency, mm-hmm. right? There is the
well. He knows. He's like, this could have a high reward.
Well, because where's the urgency been throughout this entire season, mm-hmm. right? These guys have looked incredibly lethargic. They've didn't fire Matt Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
Granato's still the head coach. Like,
right?
So there has to be consequences for this team's failure, mm-hmm. and this team has failed, and someone has to pay the price. And unfortunately, it's the guy that was playing arguably the best on your entire team. But that's sometimes how shit goes. So like.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. It's going to happen, and it sucks that it was Mittelstadt, but guess what? He's proven that he's a player that's going to produce, and guess what he's going to do? He's going to go produce on another team.
Good for him.
And good for him.
Good for the Sabres because they needed to make a move. And
maybe we'll see an emergence of Krebs, like you said. He's out of fourth-line jail. We don't know what can happen to him. So, you know, he got Krugered like Skinner got Krugered, so we're going to see what happens
Granato'd.
There. He got, well, technically, yeah, Granato'd, but Kruger just getting stuck on the fourth line. But
it will be
it can happen.
Again,
they'll play tonight, so we see what happens.
I will say this. It has made this pod significantly more interesting talking about the Sabres because of this trade, and it has made Friday significantly more interesting because now it's like, oh, is there going to be some more moves? Like,
right.
Are they going to get the purge that, you know, kind of
yeah.
the Bills just had? And it's going to make next pod interesting because we're going to be talking about what happens on Friday. So, yeah, definitely a very interesting week ahead for the Sabres. And
that they'll probably do nothing else with, but, you know, we're hyping it up anyway. But
I mean, we got to sell the brand here somehow.
Yeah. No, listen. The only thing I found that's somewhat concerning, Sabermetrics tweeted this out. Bowen Byram counts each morning that he wakes up without a headache as a gift. The Colorado Avalanche defenseman once experienced life while stuck in a fog because of his concussion
Again,
problem. Like you said,
he's definitely had a concussion issue, and he's definitely has not been. I don't know how to word this properly. Definitely has not
fully
been,
healthy. Like
definitely has not been a great player the last two seasons.
No,
but you're buying that Stanley Cup final, which is risky, but you're buying his ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll
listen,
see.
I'm good on Kevin Adams. Like we said, just you know putting
good
it out there
Kevin
and
Adams,
doing it.
Good on Brandon Bean.
And again, don't expect to see Mittelstadt on the ice tonight. If you're somehow out of the loop under a rock or anything like that, but hey, I think. Anything else? I know this was a long one today. There's a lot going on here.
We'll see. I mean, we might have a lot to catch up on next week.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, the Bills could do the same thing again. Like, we don't know. The draft is going to be interesting now. I'm really excited. This made the draft 10 times more interesting.
This made this
lull of an offseason so far 10 times more interesting. So we are planning the live draft special like we did last year, so you got to stay tuned for that. That'll be fun. Listen, I'm excited now. We're going to this will be awesome. So without further ado, that's going to wrap it up for this crazy purge edition of the Buffalonian podcast. I'm Joe Calley. As always, I'm joined by Dom Loss. Thank you to our producer, Mooch, for everything you do. Scouring Twitter for us today and throwing in the Josh Allen cheeks out tweet. So, you know, very constructive for the program today. But Dom, how do you always end these, buddy?
Go Bills, baby.
Did you hesitate? Did you just find something in the last seconds here?
No.
Okay.
No.
Go Bills. We'll talk to you next week.